This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina lawmakers are out with their newest edition of voting maps for the state. The newly drawn legislative district lines come after 28 House and Senate districts were found by the U.S. Supreme Court to be illegally racially gerrymandered. Lawmakers say race was not considered this time around, but a look at the new lines show that most of the proposed districts will still lean Republican. Whether or not Republicans will hold on to supermajorities in the legislature is still up for debate. WNC politics reporter Rusty Jacobs has been following the story and joins me now. Welcome back, Rusty.
Thanks, Frank.
Give us a sense of what these new maps look like or what kind of changes we can expect.
Well, the lawmakers, Republican leadership, voted on criteria that would be applied to the drawing of these new maps. Equal population, so more evenly population more evenly distributed among the districts. Fewer split precincts. Contiguity, continuity, and incumbency and election data. In other words, partisan advantage were criteria for the drawing of these new maps. As you said, one key criterion that was left out was race. And that was much to the consternation of a lot of critics because they said in order to make sure the power, a voting power of community of minority communities is not diluted, you must take race into consideration. But they left it out. And so far, it looks like the maps that were produced may get the Republicans the majorities they want to hold on to tightly.
And to be clear, it is illegal to racially gerrymander, in other words, to use race as a consideration when considering voting lines. However, not partisan politics. That has been legal in America forever. And you can, if you're the party in power, draw the maps the way you want as long as you don't discriminate against one group of people over another.
Well, that's right. And if you were listening to or have heard any of the comments spoken or made by members of the public last night at public hearings at seven sites statewide to talk about the maps produced by the Republican lawmakers, the outrage was aimed at just that swapping out partisan gerrymandering for racial gerrymandering really yields the same results, and that it's just a subversion of the democratic process. That what you're doing essentially, and this is one comment you heard over and over again from these hundreds of people, was that maps made in this way gives politicians the opportunity and strength to select their voters as opposed to the other way around.
And, of course, conversely, what critics were saying within the Republican Party, look, why use race? Because given historic voting patterns, if you use political criteria, who are the Democrats and who are the Republicans, weaken the Democratic districts and strengthen the Republicans, you'll end up with the same result. You'll get a favorable vote for Republicans, and it won't look as racist, but the fact is, because of historical voting patterns, you're going to have the same result.
Absolutely, and it should be said, Frank, and I think you may be talking about this with one of your other guests later, but the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be taking up a case out of Wisconsin later this year that looks at partisan gerrymandering and whether it is constitutional.
So we may have new maps again, but for now, we've got these. Now, they have to go through a process, but let's talk about some of the unique situations. They're going to be have to be approved, and of course, courts have to look at these things because the courts called the original maps unconstitutional, so they're going to have to clear these things before they become the maps for North Carolina, right?
That's correct. The maps that were reviewed by the public and commented on yesterday and that will be taken up in votes at the end of this week, possibly carrying over to Monday by lawmakers, they will have to be submitted to a federal judicial panel by September 1st. And that judicial panel will get to decide whether they pass constitutional muster or whether the judges will take over the map writing process on their own.
All right. So if they do and then they become the maps, right now they've created a few unique political situations because of something called double bunking. And so give us a sense of some of the changes that we can expect just based on the maps as they are now.
The House map and the Senate map each have four so-called double bunked districts where two incumbents are pitted against one another. And they've also created four districts each that have no incumbents in them. Interestingly, a lot of listeners probably already know Senator Chad Barefoot, one of the Wake County precincts, has already announced he's going to do what politicians do when they leave office. He's going to spend more time with his young family.
He was one of those double bunked, right?
Correct. He's bowing out of a primary race against another Republican. Over on the House side, I found it interesting that the leadership was not unaffected by these maps. John Hardister is a young, very intelligent lawmaker from Guilford County. He's the House Majority Whip. He is a member of the Republican leadership, and yet he has been put into a district with another Republican. I actually had an email exchange with him the other day, and he just said the map-making process is not final. He respects that process, and he will make whatever calculations he has to make down the road, but he's committed to he's enjoyed serving the people, and he's committed to continuing to serve.
All right. Well, I want to bring an analyst into this conversation right now, because as North Carolina residents weigh in on the proposed legislative maps, certainly political analysts are taking a look at what the new lines might mean for political power in this state. Michael Bitzer is a political science professor at Catawba College, and he joins me now. Michael, welcome back.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Good to have you here. House and Senate committees agree to not to use racial data. How are these new maps? Are they much different from the maps that the court found unconstitutional?
Well, there certainly are some differences in terms of where the districts lie. When you change one district, you're inevitably going to have some ripple effects on bordering districts, and that may necessarily spread throughout the state. But some districts are going to look very similar to the current makeup and the current geography, but others are going to be very different. And in fact, where I am here in Rowan County, I believe we're going to have a new state senator, because no incumbent lies within the new district that was drawn that basically splits half of Rowan County and adds it to another county. So, you know, there are some significant differences. And it will be interesting to see how the candidates play out. You know, you talked about the double bunking, but also who throws their hat into the ring to potentially challenge perhaps some sitting incumbents or vie for some open seats.
What about these open seats, these districts that are currently not represented? How does that look in terms of their makeup the politically, in other words, whether or not they lean Republican or Democrat?
Well, some of the analysis that I've done does show that the vast majority of the districts in both the state House and in the state Senate lean to one party heavily over the other. If you take, for example, the presidential vote within these new districts, and you say the Republican got 50% of the vote, Donald Trump got 50%, Mitt Romney got 49%, but you compare the presidential returns in that new district. For example, you've got a district, District 32, where, yes, Mitt Romney got 50% of the statewide vote, but in that district, he got 67% of that vote. So that seems to indicate to me that that's a very strong Republican district. In other districts, he only got 12% of the vote, and Donald Trump got 10% of the vote. That's a strong Democratic district. And the way that my numbers are showing, the majority of these districts are drawn heavily to one party over the other.
And then, of course, the other thing you want to do is put all of the Democrats in one district. So you can have it heavily Democratic, but if you put a lot of people in that, it limits the number of representatives who will actually be members of the Democratic Party. So that's the other thing you can look for.
Exactly. And that's part of that Wisconsin redistricting case that y'all talked about earlier, was the efficiency gap. Are Democrats being packed into districts that basically waste their votes in that district, but Republicans have perhaps a slightly easier time winning because of their numbers within the districts? That's going to be the big issue regarding this phenomenon of partisan gerrymandering.
And one of the reasons we're looking at this nationally is the number of uncompetitive races nationally, and of course here in the state of North Carolina, and I think we know what we're predicting is basically uncompetitive races in this state. It does tend to dampen political appetite and the will for people to get out and even vote.
Particularly in the general election, and we are shifting more and more the emphasis to the primary election. And some would blame that as the cause of the increase in partisanship. I would also factor in the fact that so many of us are living in like-minded communities, that we're basically sorting ourselves. And it makes it, you know, from the map maker's point of view, it makes it very easy if a precinct is overwhelmingly for one party over the other, if they want to crack that precinct, divide up the numbers, or pack them into one particular district, it is a lot easier in terms of geography to be able to do that nowadays.
Is there anything that you can do in crunching the numbers that indicates whether or not, for instance, Democrats would have a better chance at cracking the supermajorities in either the Senate or the House?
You know, these districts and the numbers that I've run are based on 2012 and 2016 presidential election results within the districts. So right now, my numbers of strong Democrats and lean Democratic districts in the House is right now, those numbers are around 39-40. They've got a ways to go to be able to crack the supermajority of 72 seats in the House. In the Senate, their numbers that I'm looking at are about 15 seats, and the supermajority is 30 there. So Democrats certainly have a ways to go. We don't know what the environment's going to be a year from now. If a presidential approval rating is still in the mid-30s, that could bode well for Democrats, but they've got an even higher hurdle to be able to overcome in a lot of these districts and the competitive districts. So certainly Republicans should be able to keep their majority status with these new maps. That's going to help them come in a very short time period, 3 years, when they have to redraw the maps after the next census.
Michael Bitzer, political science professor at Catawba College, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Rusty Jacobs, WUNC politics reporter. Thanks, Rusty.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, climate change, a national security threat. We'll take a look at what the military is doing to address the issue on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.